It's a nature of long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. The fruit of the Spirit is simply a description of the character of the Lord Jesus. That is what we have now. That is who we are now. And of course, that's the real us. That's our identity. And if you'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read the beginning of this new creation life, this spiritual life that is the real us, starts here. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. We rejoice when a baby is born. We rejoice that a life has begun and that little baby will grow. Well, we start our new spiritual life when we're born again, when we're born from above. And it's incorruptible seed. We know this seed of the flesh body that we have, it's corruptible, it catches colds. But that new life, that spiritual life, is incorruptible. And in 1 John, just over a few pages, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And this is the truth. And as we were encouraged in the manifestations to fill our hearts and minds with the word of God, so we can believe this truth. Words and things like, it's going to be a rotten day, or this won't work for me, or it's never worked before, just should not be part of our vocabulary because of who we are. We are new creations in Christ, and because of the new birth, he has made us like him. You know, yesterday when we were at Agape Now at the bus station speaking to people, I just pray if a billionth of the Christ in me comes out as I speak to somebody, what a blessing that will be. It's a spiritual reality. And this is what we need to see and believe. This is the perspective we need to have. And because God's word says we are sons, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And it says here in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. You know, as we meet here this morning, we are so privileged to know the truth. There's millions of Christians who unfortunately are meeting this morning and they think they're servants. A servant just does what they're told. Millions of Christians believe if you're a Christian, you attend church. Church attendance equals Christianity. If you're a Christian, you pray. So do it. Go to church. Pray. Don't swear. Give. And it's just following commandments that they think are Christian. But we've got this spirit within us, and we just read that. We read we're not servants as regards our relationship with God. We do serve with love like Jesus did, but our relationship with God is not one of a servant, it's a son. And the Spirit of His Son is in our heart. And all the time it's saying, Father, Father. It's connecting. And that's the connection that's the key to everything hitting the mark. It's when we lose that and do things rote or out of obligation or duty or for any other reason that's not vibrant with the Spirit in the moment. And that's where we hit the mark, because the Spirit is speaking all the time in our hearts, crying, Father, Father. I mean, could you imagine a 10-year-old saying to his dad, how many times do you want me to tell you I love you? And the father says, well, if I hear it once in the morning, once in the evening, that's good. And then they say these words, and maybe for that relationship it kind of works or whatever. That's not what God wants. He is speaking all the time. The thing is, are we built up in the Spirit? Bob has written that wonderful book about speaking in tongues. It makes us big and fat spiritually, and we should fall out of bed in the morning just to praise Him and to build ourselves up. We've been unconscious for 7-8 hours, sleeping, getting rest. So we connect and we build ourselves up. Build ourselves up in the Spirit. The only reason you would speak in tongues is because you believe what the Word of God says it is. So people who think, well, it's not for me, or, well, I don't understand it, what am I getting out of this? You start to do it out of a response in love for what God has done for you, and you will start to get it. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, and you'll grow and grow and start to see things. Like that wonderful verse there. When Jesus looked at people, you know, the average person, if they're in a crowd, it's like, what a headache, all these people, I've got to get through them to do what I need to do. Jesus just wept because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus saw people the way His Father did. And we too should view people like that. Look at Romans, please, chapter 8. And Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So those are the children of God that will show the power, that will reflect His Father, that will hit the mark for God. Never think when you speak the word, and we heard the greatness of speaking the word in Salarico's song, we heard it in the manifestations, you're sowing seed. Never think just because somebody sneers at you maybe, or grunts, or doesn't respond the way you'd like to see them respond. Don't think for a moment it hasn't gone forth. They will think about what you've said. They will reflect that you stopped and took the love to speak to them, to care. You know, on yesterday morning, I like to kind of ask if I can walk with them. So we walk and I speak. And I just pray the love of God, the Word of God, it's up to God to work in that person's heart. People walked away from Jesus Christ. So if they walked away from Him, they're going to walk away from me. They're going to walk away from you. That doesn't matter. They just missed it with Jesus. They didn't come for healing, so they didn't get healing. But everyone who came to Jesus for healing received. They received. So wherever we go, we want to build that vibrant presence that the Lord is there, that the Lord is ready to heal, to move, as people say yes to Him. And I think, you know, we know that faith moves mountains. Jesus said it. Look at the mountain. Whosoever, and we're all a whosoever, says to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, you'll have whatsoever you say. Absolutely magnificent. Our expectation reflects our faith. If we go meet with the believers and we expect a nice time, what exactly are we going to get? A nice time. You see, God's will, when we get together like this, in any meeting where two or three are gathered together, God's will is that every need be met. It could be a phrase in the song that we hear that the Spirit just ignites your heart and says, you know, that's what you need to believe. Hold fast to that. It could be a phrase. The manifestations we heard. Absolutely awesome. That was God speaking to us. Now, if I don't believe that was God speaking to us, I've missed the moment. By His grace and mercy, there'll be other moments, but I missed that one. You know? And then the teaching. All the verses covered. Everything. When somebody's speaking, led by the Spirit of God, and the truth, the scriptures of God's word are there, speaking to your heart, meeting your need. And if you need healing, you don't leave until you ask somebody to minister to you. Or if it's in your heart to speak to somebody specific, you find that person. So we've got the prayers, we've got the manifestations, we've got the teaching, we've got the ministering healing, we've got that person that God says, on you go, have a word with them. All those ways God is loving us and connecting us because He wants every need to be met. Every need to be met. And we must never lose sight of the true will of God and the calling together of His people. And as people shared about the fellowship the weekend that we had and how God was speaking to us all, wasn't He? Through the Spirit. I think I said a couple of times to you before the weekend, God is going to be speaking that weekend through His scriptures, by His Spirit, He is speaking. So we remember we're calling Abba Father. We're saying Father, and He's speaking to us. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So we should be speaking in tongues like a house in fire, and He's speaking back to us. He really is. So Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that amazing? How do you know you're a child of God? Because God speaks to you. God speaks to you and He tells you, you are my son. You are my daughter. So everything should come out of relationship. See, people get it round the wrong way. And we can't do that. You put your socks on first and then you put your shoes, don't you? It'd be a bit silly, you put your shoes on and your socks. You know, it's an interesting thing with God's word. And I guess you could say in a way, all truth is not equal. If you spent your life in Leviticus or Numbers, you wouldn't grow closer to God than if perhaps you bonded yourself with another aspect of God's word. But if you think of the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. Three phenomenal realities. The love of God, faith and hope. The greatest is the love of God. So God Almighty sets that one up higher than the others. Is faith important? Oh my goodness, yes. We can't please God without faith, it says in Hebrews 11:6. But the biggest thing in the family of God is the love of God. And I think last weekend, the more all those believers collected together, that love of God was real and alive. And God says, it is the greatest. It is the greatest. So thinking of how everything comes out of relationship, how relationship is so important, how does your prayer life reflect your relationship with God? I don't think we're people who pray rote prayers or prayers like a shopping list. You know, pray for this, pray for that, pray for that. Amen. It needs to come out of saying, Father, who do you want me to pray for? Like Jesus said when the disciples said, how do we pray? You enter into the closet, shut the door. God is right there. God is right there telling you, who do you pray for? And there's amazing testimonies where somebody was on the point of death and somebody halfway across the world woke up in the middle of the night because God told them, you need to pray for this person now. And they get down on their knees, they spoke in tongues and they prayed, and that person lived. So there are things God would have us to pray for. I think the Church of God and the body of Christ generally, I'm meaning all believers, kind of missed it with the pandemic. The pandemic didn't make us, it didn't break us, but it revealed us. And unfortunately, many born-again ones didn't pray fervently, didn't seek God or respond to the cry of God, but panicked. We don't need to do that because our God is faithful, is true, and He is there for us. But we need to be praying for those people, those situations that God is directing us to. And because your heart of love is connected with people that perhaps my heart isn't connected to, and vice versa, we need to pray as God directs us. So that's prayer coming from our relationship with God. How about the Word of God? Now, if God is telling you to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I do fair play to you. But for me, and perhaps for you too, ask God what you should be studying and reading in God's Word. And your heart will ignite because you'll be connected and right in His will. I know a number of years ago I was struggling with confidence. I was just not there. Got out my concordance, looked at all the words, the verses, with the word confidence in it. Golly, I was in fire. 2-3 days. It's what God wanted me to believe, to look at, to take into my heart. So our relationship with God, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what are you reading in the Word? What is God leading you to? I remember I took a book. Bob and Jeannie are just so kind. And it's a book I didn't know of, and I saw it in their bookshelf. And Jeannie said, oh, you can take that one. Changed my life. It was exactly what God wanted me to believe. And years later, it is still feeding me. It was one by Charles Capps, Faith and Confession. And I'd got a bit muddy and unclear in my mind and focus with the Lord. And this one brought me right back. So it was clear, crystal clear, to know I am in faith. I am believing Him. All is good. So, speaking in tongues comes from our relationship with God. Somebody asked me at the weekend, last weekend, how long should I speak in tongues for? And I said, I can't answer that for you. It comes out of your relationship with God. But I know that sometimes we're doing something, and I'm sure you've felt the same promptings of Holy Spirit. God just says, sit quietly and speak in tongues. So you stop what you're doing, you follow the lead of Holy Spirit, and you speak in tongues. And you will feel differently afterward. It's you know, we don't follow our feelings, but the correct feelings will be there when you're walking by the Spirit of God. In Romans it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Two of those you feel, righteousness, peace, and joy. Who feels peace? Who feels when they're not peaceful? Who feels joy? Yeah, absolutely. So when we're built up in the Spirit and strong spiritually, we will feel blessed. We will feel joyous. We will feel that character of Christ within us. And it's just such a blessing. So our speaking in tongues should be led by relationship again. And you'll realize he's calling you more and more to pray in the Spirit, to be built up in the Spirit of God. So prayer comes out of relationship, speaking in tongues out of relationship, what we read in the Word out of relationship, and what we speak. Who's ever said the wrong thing at the wrong time and asked God to forgive us? Yeah. And it hurts people. It gets their mind thinking in a direction that's not a blessing. And we just thank God for his forgiveness. But we have the nature of Christ within, and we can speak those words that give life. We can speak those words that ignite faith, just like Jesus did. And let's look at Acts 3. Acts 3, and we'll read through verses 1 to 8. Peter, walking in the love of God and by the power of the Spirit. Peter and John went up together to into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That is such a testimony to the power of God. Peter was a flawed man. We know from the Gospels, he denied Jesus Christ. We know that he swore at the woman at the time of Jesus' betrayal. The woman, he said, who said to him, "I recognize your accent. Surely you were with Jesus who's just been arrested." He denied it, and one of the Gospels say he cursed and he swore. He hadn't gone into a behavioral program before this one, before Acts 3. He believed on the Spirit within him. And that's what we need to do. The Spirit of God is the most powerful part of us. It's the greatest part of us. It's the nature of Christ that I read from the book when I opened the sharing. We have the nature of Christ. It is who we are. It's the real you. As somebody said, well, the real you, please stand up. So we can offer healing like that. And you know, if it's not instantaneous healing, that's all right. That person is real blessed that you cared and offered a prayer of healing. And if they feel partially better, you can pray again. So we need to get going in the flow of Christ being manifest. Absolutely wonderful. But just, you know, when you look at what changed Peter, it was being born again. Being born again of incorruptible seed, which we are today. So I'd like to close out by reading another translation of 1 Corinthians 13, just a section of it. Because, you know, the person who said, how much do I speak in tongues, begs the question, how much do you love God? You know, I remember years ago in the 70s, we were doing outreach and classes, and I was talking to somebody about, you know, witnessing, how important it is. He said, Alison, it's not a witnessing problem, it's a love problem. And we in our hearts talk to God, relationship again. We know that the word says, we love him because he first loved us. God's always the prime mover. What he has done for each one of us here, when we have eyes to see, how are we going to respond? It has to be a response of love and care. Somebody made the effort to speak to us, didn't they? And so we reach out and speak to others. So this is good. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. God's love refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. God's love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily annoyed or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. God's love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Even on the cross, he gave direction to a disciple to take care of his mother. Such was his love. And that's our nature. That the love of God has flooded our hearts, Romans 5:5 says. This is our true nature. This is who we are. We're crying, Abba, Father. So God is all the time speaking to us. He's directing us what to say, how to act, how to be, how to show that beautiful Christ in us. And that will change the world.